Hello, this is Ryan Lichten of Culture Dumps. This is another Patreon preview. Yes, you can go to patreon.com/culturedumps for the complete version of this episode, plus dozens of videos, hundreds of bonus episodes for both our shows, Podcast 99 and Culture Dumps. And Podcast 99, by the way, is about to hit 100 episodes. So we have some great Woodstock 99 related content that you can only see, hear, watch, all that on patreon.com/culturedumps. But one of our side series we've been doing is Dumps Revisited, where we take a closer look at topics that we have covered previously. And it just so happens that coinciding with the release of the Michael Jackson biopic, Michael, there was also a documentary released on Netflix about his 2005 child molestation trial. The two go hand in hand, and the documentary, The Verdict, really does go hand in hand with a dump we did very long time ago about the Martin Bashir documentary, Living with Michael Jackson. I had our friend Audio Andy on, who you might know from Podcast 99. He attended Woodstock 94 and Woodstock 99, but he is also a very enthusiastic documentary connoisseur, much like myself. So we sit down and talk about this, and rather than it being a docu-dump, which is our side series on patreon.com/culturedumps, where we discuss documentaries, I realized that this really is more of a sequel to our Living with Michael Jackson episode. So, folks, this is a preview of our Patreon-exclusive series, Dumps Revisited, and this is our Living with Michael Jackson episode of Dumps Revisited. You can hear the rest of this episode at patreon.com/culturedumps.
Culture Dumps.
Yeah. All right. We are here. Andy, you're with me on Dumps Revisited. I believe you're the first guest that I've had on a Dumps Revisited.
Wow. All right.
Yes. And Andy, Audio Andy, Andy from Woodstock 99, from Woodstock 99, but also multiple alumni of Podcast 99. Yes. You are here because you love documentaries.
Yes.
We share that.
Much.
Mm-hmm. And you've turned me on to some great ones. I hope I've shared some with you.
Most definitely.
Okay, great. And I feel like this was going to be a docu-dump, you know, where we review documentaries and such. But then I realized that the documentary that we're reviewing today actually serves as a sequel to a past culture dump, which was Living with Michael Jackson. The Martin Bashir documentary that aired, I believe, in 2004. That is, of course, where Yoo-Hoo comes from. That for months after we did that episode, we were putting that in anywhere we could. Anywhere we could. We had a lot of fun with that. So I get to do that again today. But I asked you. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Ryan, did you watch that live, the Martin Bashir one?
Yes, I believe I did.
You're
but I was
pretty young.
I was young. Yeah, I was. It was either summer going into ninth grade or ninth grade had started. But yeah, I definitely remember that because, you know, I come from the era when Michael Jackson was weird. Like, yeah. I didn't grow up with Michael Jackson being Thriller.
Yeah,
I grew up with him being a monster.
Oh, jeez.
Being Thriller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, really, like, you know, my first memories of Michael Jackson are Wacko Jacko and seeing him as a zombie in Thriller, obviously, but then that being juxtaposed with everything you'd hear in the news and seeing on the you know, grocery store cashier lines on the covers of magazines. You had both.
Yes. Yeah. We grew up, we idolized.
You probably Michael had all Jackson. Three Michael Jacksons, actually.
Well, the really young one was a little before me.
Okay.
But we were aware of him, and he was in The Wiz. Mm-hmm. And then we had Thriller, which was everywhere. You couldn't escape it.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this documentary comes on. I'll never forget. I had a friend, Stephanie, over, and Stephanie might be listening right now. And we sat on the couch just eyes open,
yeah,
wide, to like, what is this thing? And yeah, that's when we knew Michael Jackson went off the deep end.
Yes. Well, and so folks, really what this whole episode is going to anchor on is the 2026 Netflix three-part documentary, Michael Jackson, The Verdict, directed by Nick Green. And this focuses solely on the 2005 child molestation trial, next to OJ, you really could say trial of the century. That phrase gets thrown around a lot. That's up there.
Yes.
I would say it's in the top three running for sure. I can't I can't even think of a third. Well, a century. Okay, Manson trial. Okay, no, never mind.
Right, right.
But, like, if we're talking, like, since I've been alive, yeah, it's those two.
Yes, for sure.
Right, 100%. So, and it does serve as a sequel to Living with Michael Jackson, the Martin Bashir one. And it also comes out on the heels of the massive success of the film Michael.
Right.
Did you watch that?
Not yet.
Me neither.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
We got to.
I like watching shit. Okay. Like, if a movie is over, like, 2.5 hours, I'm watching it at home because I like, yes, to go pee and step, yeah, outside and whatever the fuck else I got to do. You know what I mean? I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could pay, like, a premium deposit in a theater?
You have to be pretty rich. That's Elvis. That's Elvis
it's
stuff.
It's Michael Jackson stuff. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Is, well, once you're rich enough to hit pause in a movie theater to be able to pay for that, you just have your own theater. You don't have, yes, to worry,
exactly,
about it.
Exactly.
You know, so again, Michael was the biggest musician biopic of all time as far as blockbuster money goes, they're saying. Whether or not it's going to win awards like some of the other ones, doubtful.
Right.
Because that's the one fucking thing, man. Like, it looks fucking corny. Like, it's hard to make anything about Michael Jackson because no matter who you are, it's tainted by whether the way his looks changed over the years, the scandals, him being a, okay, weirdo with monkeys at his house, like chimp and all
that. These fans that we see in this documentary, though, are so pro-Michael that it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
You can put anything up there as, yes, long as it's pro Michael. I was amazed at the fans running towards the car,
yeah,
the fans shouting at people. It was they followed them everywhere.
It's funny if you take away the fact that he's like a superstar, they're just chasing after someone accused of molesting children. Like again, that's literally what it is. They're chasing after a car of someone accused of molesting children. Accused.
He was found innocent.
Found innocent, and I'm saying at that moment he was just accused, and that's the whole thing. And I'll say this: this whole 3-part documentary is about a trial in which, yes, he was found innocent, and they couldn't have made him look more guilty if they tried. Do you,
Ryan,
disagree? Oh man, this is gonna be juicier than I thought.
It's really hard because I still have the Thriller Michael Jackson, and I see those fans, and they're into it. And it's okay. So Mark Garagos is part of this. Mark, do you know who else Mark Garagos defended?
Someone else.
Scott Peterson.
Yeah. Just stellar lineup.
Also Jussie Smollett. We won't go into that. It's a whole other documentary. Yeah. You saw the Jussie Smollett. I'm still, jury's out on that for me. On Jussie.
What? Oh man, you're like a pop culture conspiracy theorist.
No.
Yeah. You're like, no. Deep state. I
don't. And then he also, Garagos, defended Chris Brown, too.
So
it's almost like guilt by association?
Yeah. I mean, well, that's kind of the thing, though. Isn't that always been the catch-22 of being a successful defense lawyer?
Yes, yeah.
Is like, yeah, you're really well-known at getting people off no matter what everyone else,
yes,
thinks. Like, it's so crazy. And, I mean, you know, with it always makes me go back to OJ because it's just like,
yes,
how, you know, how,
yeah.
And it's the reasonable doubt thing is something that maybe should be reassessed the way that we decide what's reasonable, because if there is reasonable doubt in any sense of the imagination, that's it. And that's what this trial was 100% hinging on, and they even talk about that because it's like, yeah, all this super obvious shit, but the mom is a little shady, and that's reasonable, therefore the entire thing's out is essentially what happens.
It also helps to have a super fan from Detroit, Michigan, juror number 8.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that. They got her in there.
They showed up in like a Thriller jacket. Right? It's laundry day. That's all I had. Yeah, no, I hate them.
She was smiling through that whole documentary.
Dude, it's crazy. I like that one journalist that they have throughout the whole thing that like is just like she's the Michael Jackson person and basically,
yeah,
is just on call to get the best footage. What a badass, because I've been to Neverland, okay? I went to the gates. And
okay, yeah. I didn't know that. This is news to
me.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Me and my buddies, I've told this story before, but me and my buddies, we went to Santa Barbara for like a boys' weekend. Not a great place to do
boys'
that,
weekend, huh?
Yes, shared room at the Sheridan,
boys.
You know,
like, I wasn't allowed in any bars because I had giant goth hair at the time. And in wine, like, Wine Bar Row in Santa Barbara, they don't take kindly.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So we all wake up our first day of full shit, and we go to this, like, called, like, the Cave Tavern Inn, something tavern. They make tri-tip sandwiches. It's in the middle of the woods in Santa Barbara.
All right, sounds good.
It was great. It's like where dads go on, like, they're, like, super souped up hogs. Like, Wild Hogs would go there. Like, the cast of Wild Hogs would go there. But we're like, dude, Neverland's, like, 15 minutes away. So we drive there, and there's the gate, and there's tons of flowers and, like, all this shit. And every square inch of the walkway, the gate is written on.
Yeah.
I mean, every space. There's padlocks with engravings on it locked to the gates and locked to this. And the glass of the lights have etchings in them. Everything. Love you, Michael. Love you. I took a rock that said, that said, hope you're dancing in heaven. I took that shit.
That's bad mojo. That's like taking Indian artifacts, man.
Well, get this. So at the time I was working for the Museum of Death, and we had like a California section with like a celebrity case. And I was like, this is from fucking Neverland Ranch. And so I put it in the case, and it was like, you know, fan written stone, like made a nice label copy for it.
Yeah.
And then Paris Jackson comes in.
Really?
To the museum.
Amazing.
And we're like,
were you there?
I was not there. I got a text.
Okay.
And she was there. She was on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and she was doing her interview there.
Okay.
And like they, like we, it turned out, and we're like, what the fuck? But someone texted me. They're like, dude, Michael Jackson's daughter's here. I was like, get in that room and get that shit out of the case now.
You think she'd notice?
I think she did, because she came back multiple times and really enjoyed that place.
All right.
So she, like, I at some point she would have looked at that case and seen that and what the fuck. Because it's a ghoulish thing. I did a ghoulish thing. It's like when I went to the O.J. Simpson, like the Nicole Brown murder site, and I took a jar of dirt. Like, you know? But yeah, so I went to Neverland. And to go from Neverland to Los Angeles and back every day in order just to see the cars coming in and out of the gate is such a monumental accomplishment for a journalist. It's crazy.
Yeah, because it's so far.
It's so fucking far.
Yeah.
And my brother just went to the gates of Neverland. Same thing. Everything's written on. It looks like they blast it every once in a while, but
yeah. You know, Graceland does the same thing. People write on the walls of Graceland right by the gates. And Priscilla used to have it. I bet she still does. Has it sandblasted?
She just goes out herself.
No, that'd be funny. Yeah.
Get out. Yeah. Rollers and a robe.
Now, speaking of which, Lisa Marie Presley.
Oh, yes.
So
ex-wife.
He was divorced from Lisa Marie, and all this went down after Lisa Marie, because Lisa Marie would not put up with any of that. Now, everything I've heard, because I like, I'm pretty gullible, maybe. But
put up with Lisa... any of that. Like, I'm just trying to think of like all of that. Oh, just existing as Michael Jackson in his life. Yeah, it's pretty hard. Pretty tall order.
But Lisa Marie and Michael supposedly had a real relationship. What do you think? You don't think you can't see this, but his face says
no. I know. Sorry, that was a lot of dead air, folks, which I guess should speak volumes. No, and nobody thought that this would last at the MTV, the VMAs, and then they kiss, and it's just like, ooh.
Okay.
You know what's even crazier though than that is that Nicolas Cage, who is a lifetime Elvis enthusiast and collector. Didn't he marry her too?
Yeah, or dated or married for a
short
time.
Yeah, and it's like the ultimate item for my collection. Yeah.
So I saw the Michael Jackson kiss with Lisa Marie live. You probably didn't.
No, you were way too young. I just saw it on countdowns of the most bizarre shit ever for years to come.
Yeah, it was pretty weird at the time.
But so almost, it almost makes it sound like after the divorce, you just went off on a bender, young boys every night. Ferris wheels, climbing trees.
It's weird because all this happened when he was kind of in his 30s.
Yeah. Which is so weird to think. Like, Michael Jackson died incredibly young, which most people don't
46.
Realize. 46. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that is really nuts.
Yeah.
But the thing about so Michael Jackson, the verdict, right? Which, again, focuses on the trial. That whole trial, as we talked about on our episode, starts with living with Michael Jackson with Martin Bashir. Now.
Okay, Ryan.
Yes.
Do we like Martin Bashir?
No. I mean, there's some things that you don't have to try and make look weird. And then they're like, I think my problems with him are like when he's like prodding or when he's like being like a smart ass on purpose, like nothing, you're not accomplishing anything by like kind of like jabbing at this person. But do I think that he like formulated some plan to make him look weird? No, that's a weird looking alien ass man holding hands with a child who's not his talking about how they share a bed. He didn't fucking arrange that, you know?
Okay. So Martin Bashir, I don't know if you know, I don't know if you noticed this, but when they interview him, the angle of the interview is canted. It's tilted a little bit, quite a bit, almost every time they show him. So that to me means the directors are saying, Martin Bashir, I don't know. Now, also in the Martin Bashir documentary, why would Michael bring this boy out if something was going on?
Because that's like Jimmy Savile. Put it in front of your face. Oh, I just love the girl so much. Oh, it's old Jim. Yeah. It's like, of course. Why would I hide this away? There's nothing going on. Dude, it's the most obvious. Liberace, this is Scott. Like, are you kidding me? You fucking put it out there and people just kind of have to accept it or not. And in this case, not. But there was enough of both sides of thought to save him. You know what I mean? To keep him out of jail.
All right. I'll accept that kind of right now.
So one thing I found interesting was that at that time of living with Michael Jackson, it's hard to think of this, but his career, according to everyone in his camp, was on a downturn. And he wasn't making any money. He didn't have any projects on the horizon. All of the bad press, the fallout from his last molestation debacle where he paid out a huge $25 million.
$20 million to that kid. Yeah.
Well, God, must be nice. Yeah.
I don't know. Jeez.
Well, it must be nice if he didn't go through it. And if he did. I mean, that can buy a lot of therapy. You know what I mean? And boats and stuff, too.
Okay, can we talk about this a little bit with the mom?
Well,
are we getting to that?
Oh, yeah, we're going to get to it. Yeah, because I'm going to kind of go through this like as it happens now.
Okay.
Of course, that's a huge thing. So his career was kind of on a downturn. And he was approached to do a documentary, Living with Michael Jackson, by Martin Bashir. Now, Martin Bashir had done a series of these. He also did one with Boy George, Living with Boy George. And this is after Boy George had been in trouble for keeping an escort hostage in his home for several days. You know, and
I forgot about that.
And he did a Living with Princess Diana kind of a thing.
Princess Diana, yep.
He did this, but he trashed her, and it was almost the notorious, like the same thing that people said about the Michael Jackson one, they said about the Diana one. Yeah. But Michael Jackson never saw that, according to them. He just heard, oh, he's the one that did Diana. Well, I loved her, and like I would trust her opinion. So he just hired, like, allows this to happen without realizing it was a fucking hit job.
Right. That that proves that Michael's a little off kilter.
Yeah. Well, and also it's like no one decided to show him that or
also like his handlers.
In Living with Michael Jackson, you see so often, like, especially with the shopping scene where he's like Martin Bashir, really? Like, don't you have that? Yes, I do, but I need that. Like, you're not going to tell him no. So someone was like, oh, maybe you should watch. I don't need to watch it. Princess Diana's great. You know, like, so fuck it. And then look what happens.
You're saying Michael Jackson surrounded by yes men.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not be? I mean, and if you were to believe those that worked for him or people that have come out and, you know, with accusations and such, that's how he was allowed to do this for so long.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's how any of these like a Jimmy Savile, that's how they get away with this shit for so long, you know, is the yes men factor. And well, that will affect my bottom line. If my work revolves around this person and this person goes down, we all go down. You know, but one thing that was interesting. So after that documentary comes out, obviously there's huge scandal, blah, blah, blah. They talk about it on end and everyone's trying to get a hold of the family. I thought it was really weird that in the verdict, they show this footage because they have Michael's legal team, both people that were, you know, there till the end and people that quit, which is interesting.
Yes.
But they talk about, like, they had the whole family, including the mother of the boy, Gavin, doing this, like, Michael's so great thing, staying ahead of the storm.
Yeah.
Really fucking weird. Smart, guilty behavior. Because they're like, oh.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, so we got to get all you guys in this shot. And one thing I loved is, like, they're showing, like, all these Polaroids that the kids took with Michael, and he called one of them Blowhole.
Blowhole, yeah. That was
the fuck is that?
Yeah.
The fuck is? Did you watch Leaving Neverland? The two part HBO heavy duty molestation one.
I'm pretty sure I saw that. I'm trying to remember.
I can't believe you wouldn't remember that, dude. Where they like go into graphic fucking detail. Well, there's one part where one of the accusers is saying how Michael Jackson would have all these nicknames and he'd send them faxes because this is like early 90s, so every like fax machine.
Wait, was this the one where he goes over to the family's house and he's like, there's a picture of him sitting on
yes,
the floor
playing Nintendo? Yeah. And it's like having ET in your living room. Yeah. What the fuck is that? Yeah, yeah. But he was like, he had names, nicknames for all these kids, like, hey, Applehead. One of them was, hey, Doodoo Head. And he would send them all these faxes, like hand tracings, like Doodoo Head.
Oh, I remember now.
But yeah, blowhole is a strange thing for a grown man to call a child.
Yes.
You know, and that's not even one of the ones that was really accusing him of anything.
Right, right.
What was the fucking actual one's name? You know, but another really fascinating thing was the footage of the search of Neverland Ranch, which I had never seen before. I had seen lots of photos, you know, like stacks of porn and things like that. Nothing wrong with having porn if you're a grown-ass man. The problem with the porn, though, is that the kid said that he had a black suitcase with a bunch of porn in it, and sure enough, there was a black suitcase with a bunch of porn in it.
Yeah.
Porn specifically noted by law enforcement as being the type that someone might groom someone younger with, because these are women without tattoos that are, like, just of age.
Yeah.
Ugh! None of it looks good.
Barely legal. Yeah.
Barely legal. Barely legal. Yes. But, and they also showed footage of the interrogation of the kid.
The victim statement. He looks so tiny in that.
Fuck.
Jeez.
Dude, it's so rough. But again, this is stuff that we had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that they show in Leaving Neverland, but they also showed during the raid footage. And like, dude, they had to like descend upon Neverland Ranch. Like, it's so bizarre seeing guys in like flak jackets and shit, like walking by Ferris wheels.
Yeah.
You know, in cotton candy booths and shit. But if you look at the doors, there's like a million locks on some of these doors.
Yeah.
What's that about?
Safety.
Yeah. <It's scary. laughs> Yeah, they might get out. It's the kids might get out.
No, it's to keep bubbles in.
I love, dude, he talks about bubbles. The bubbles comes up many times in the verdict, but also in Living with Michael Jackson. And he's like, yeah, once they get too old, you can't. He's like, oh, he threw his doo-doo feces everywhere. That clip has made a resurgence on TikTok. So he's, oh, it smelled so bad, like doo-doo feces everywhere. And like people are like filming, like if you're, say like it's a janitor with a TikTok, he's filming like the mess in the bathroom at his work at Walmart. Oh, doo-doo feces. But yeah, it's so brutal, like seeing that footage of guys actually had to go in there and search that place. And it's a weird fucking place, man.
Yeah. A lot of dolls and stuff.
A lot of dolls.
Very
like,
childlike.
One of the things they said in Leaving Neverland was that there was always something to do. So there was never not an excuse to be in one of these hidden away places. Oh, no, we're playing with this. Oh, no, like the Nintendo's in this room. Oh, no, like there was always stuff, which is it's so crazy. Again, there are two schools of thought, though. If you look at it from he did not do this at all, how sweet. If you look at it from the way it looks to most folks, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, but most folks, you know, apparently weren't the ones that didn't buy tickets to see Michael.
But he's Michael is goofy. So he doesn't think, you know, I don't know. It's just so weird.
That's also the other thing, though, is there is a lot of like, aside from like the nefarious stuff, it is just weird. Like when he's climbing a tree and to him, all this shit's normal again, because no one's told him to stop or not do anything in years.
Do you want
to
climb a tree?
No, I can't go to fucking climb a tree. Actually, I will say I was watching Living with Michael Jackson before he got here, and his giving tree looks like it had some work done on it. Like that tree did not grow with steps all the way up that thing. And he's not just fucking freestyling. He's not free soloing his giving tree.
He's climbing stairs.
Yeah. Okay. He's not the dark wizard of trees or anything like
so
that.
So he has a suspended adolescence from being beaten by Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Well, and from working since he was five.
Yeah.
You know, and no, you don't get to do that. I mean, he talks about all the time, like looking out the window of the recording studio and seeing the playground.
Yeah.
You know, and then also, you know, there is like when you're a kid, like the shared experience of even if he did go to like a candy store with all of his friends, well, he can buy everything and nothing is really special.
Right.
And so you start creating things like Kurt Cobain talked about that. He's like, you know, I used to go into a thrift store with the dollar and hope that there was something. Now I can go in and buy anything I want. And it's really doesn't, I really don't want to.
Yeah.
You know, and with Michael Jackson, it's like, well, if I just keep buying shit, like, eventually I'll feel good. You know, that hole's filled today.
We really saw that in the Bashir documentary.
Yes.
That's the part that really stuck out to me.
To just everyone.
I'll take that.
Yeah, and he's in the price tags. Oh, like, there was two big vases, and he goes, oh, that's $500,000 that you just spent between those two. Like, what the fuck?
There was no reaction from Michael.
Yeah. No, he goes, yeah, it's my taste. One thing I found interesting was that Gavin's psychologist turned him in because he was worried. Which, damn, psychologist, man, like, in Los Angeles. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot trust a Los Angeles psychologist. The Menendez brothers.
Right.
Michael Jackson. Yeah. I mean, fuck, man. These guys. But obviously two different cases. So Gavin said some stuff to his shrink, and the shrink was like, well, it's my duty to, you know, report this, and begets the trial of the century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that gives some validity to what he was saying, rather than he told someone else besides the cops. It shows that there was possibly less of a setup.
Well, and it also explains his demeanor. I mean, a child's demeanor during a questioning session like that is going to be fucking ruthless to watch anyways. But, like, you know, a psychologist is someone that you're brought into, especially as a kid, and you're told this is safe.
Yes.
You can trust this person. And then you tell them the number one, darkest, craziest thing, and they told. And now there's two guys that aren't promising you that it's just your secret and all this stuff. And no, this is actually, everyone's going to know this, but you have to tell us now. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's super brutal. But what I loved is, and this is something that I don't think was ever reported before this documentary, was that when the raid was happening at Neverland, he was not home because he was in Las Vegas. And
with the German young men
reportedly partying with several German teenagers in a room full of cigarette butts and empty alcohol bottles.
You're adding teenagers.
Teens.
I don't remember.
They said teens.
That's
they
all
did.
Hearsay.
No, they said teenagers. They said German teenagers, quote.
But there's never been a report like that.
I know, which is nuts.
They were mistaking him for some other guest.
But the other guy that looks like that. The other dude that looks like that.
Yeah.
No, but
impersonator.
Whether or not that's true or not, I love that idea because that speaks to the truly dark nature of very, very rich Las Vegas, where if he wanted to, someone with the money Michael Jackson has could source some German teens to come party with him in his room that we would never hear from again.
Maybe look like the books that are later.
Right, because he had physique magazines, by the way, have been the source of contention for fucking many trials of inappropriate materials because, they're child porn.
Yeah.
Like, there's bodybuilding magazines and nudist magazines, they would call them. Yeah. And this is all, like, this whole year, folks, I've been spending reading books about the history of pornography. There's a great one called Bigger Than Life. It's the history of gay pornography specifically. Dude, it was an open secret back in the black and white 1940s and 50s days when they were making these things. You know what I mean?
All mail order, right?
All mail order.
Is it called Swedish magazines too?
Well, there was a whole ton. I mean, some came from overseas. Some were produced here. Some were stock photos from news stories that would then be reappropriated, like visiting a nudist colony. You know, just focusing too much on a certain population of them.
Yeah.
Like shit like that. Yeah. Michael Jackson had that shit. So did Pee Wee Herman. You know? You know, but maybe it was just he's a porn enthusiast and he wanted some of the old stuff, you know.
He was researching, Ryan.
Yeah.
Just like you. That's
just
all.
Like me. You're not just like me. Not just like me. But yeah, the family initially defended him because it wasn't a legal problem first. It was like just a PR problem. But then police are involved, all that. And an arrest actually takes place and he's brought in handcuffs, which... You only see him in handcuffs for one split second out of a car into a building. But fuck, man, Michael Jackson in handcuffs
Why do they have to do it? You just have to do it as a cop.
You have to do it. And they even played the audio of him being transported. Yeah. Like, is that okay? Because they were so worried. They're like, if anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Smart. Like if he gets hurt, if he trips, anything, we're all fucked.
Yeah.
And yeah, and then of course the mugshot, which I have proudly on display on my side screen here. Michael Jackson having a mugshot. One, the way that that one reporter, God, I forget her name, but she's so good. She's throughout the whole thing. She said that he's in the system now.
Yeah.
And the way that she put that is like, you had a mugshot taken. You've been booked. You are now in the American criminal justice system.
Yeah.
Forever. Forever. And like that, I mean, because he didn't have that the first time. He kind of had his own mugshot the first run around when he made that video. They took pictures of
right.
his penis.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, which
the deposition
turns out they took pictures of his penis because the kid accusing him drew a fucking dead ringer image.
As far as we know.
That's what was said. But because they chose not to go, if they had gone to trial rather than accept the settlement.
Yeah.
They had him dead to rights, apparently, which is what started that. But they didn't have him dead to rights the second time because of the mother.
Yes.
And but real quick, we were talking about Bubbles and his animals. I want to lighten it up. You had a buddy that was called the Neverland Ranch. And that is where we are going to leave you, folks. Please visit patreon.com/culturedumps in order to hear the rest of this episode of Dumps Revisited. Yes, also on our Patreon, you will find hundreds of episodes of side series, including our Riff series Squirts, our documentary review series DocuDumps, also Woodstock 99 set commentaries, tons and tons of video supplements to all of our episodes on all of our different shows. And you also will have the peace of mind in knowing that you're supporting the hardest working men and women in research-based audio format show business. Thank you, folks. I'm Ryan Lichten. Keep on dumping.